November, I was taking on our member. So, our apologies for the delay. I welcome the minister to this meeting and will be giving a presentation on the
Thank you. 88% of state at that time. This past financial year, which is the subject of this hearing, 90.6% was spent, so a little bit of an improvement. However, there are certain glaring consistencies. One of them is that the Northwest province continues to be the most consistent underperformer, while KZN continues to exhibit strong spending performance. And there's also a critical issue with respect to the grant, that the way the grant is now being implemented, in other words, it wasn't the way it was at the start, but now it is implemented on the basis of information about the actual road network, which is to be captured in a road asset management system, otherwise known as a RAND. Now, going on in terms of the background, at the time when the grant was started, this was the kind of information and the kind of status that is important for honourable members to note. South Africa has a very extensive road network, one of the most extensive road networks in the world, in terms of a paved network and as well as others, but particularly our paved road network is very extensive. And certainly compared to other developing countries in the world, it is quite top-notch. And so it is very, very important that it be looked after, particularly given the fact that its replacement cost is very high. That 2 trillion rand is an estimate that these are originally given by the CSIR on the actual replacement cost of our road network. So the bottom line is we have this road network, it's there. So, you know, notwithstanding people might want to build new roads, and there was in the past this thing about building new roads here and there. And as I said, new roads may become necessary from time to time. But if you have such an extensive network that is such a high level internationally, it is very important that you don't allow it to deteriorate and that you invest in maintaining it. And that is really the purpose of this grant. If you look at the historical data, again, this was at the time when we were creating the data, you can see across the 9 provinces in the country a graphical reflection of the condition of the paved road network. In layman's terms, people use the word tarred road, but the practitioners don't use that term because obviously that black stuff is actually tarred. It's something else. In any case, the paved road network, you can see there, in terms of the measurement between very poor up there, good and very good, that there are specific areas where there's quite a lot of work that needs to be done. Some provinces have a greater span of roads that's between very good and good, and some others that have less so. You'll see as we go on in the presentation that a province like KZN, although reflected there as having quite a lot in percentage terms of roads that are in the category of very poor and poor, has since that time been has moved very, very aggressively to address that. Those of you that have looked at some of the latest information on what KZN has been doing, and I also understand some members of this and other committees have visited the province to look at their work. There's an enormous amount of work that's been going on there to respond to exactly that picture as you see it there. But that is the background, honourable members, with respect to where we are starting with the grant. Now, the annual evaluation of condition evaluation is done is, in terms of the circular that the National Treasury issues every March of each financial year, in other words, the last month of the financial year, we issue a circular. That circular outlines a guideline for how the evaluation is supposed to be structured and put together. We have a workshop with the National Department during the same period, or before we issue the circular, in which we agree on the approach, so that what we put in there is not just our own opinion of the National Treasury, it is an agreed approach to how that particular evaluation should be put together. And the points that you see there in the bullets are basically a rough guide of the kinds of things that the circular says that are required in terms of how the evaluation report should appear when it is actually submitted to the National Treasury every July. Before I go into the issue of the compliance with that particular guideline, which is going to be sort of the main thrust of our observation, as I said, the National Department will speak from its own side about the actual, some of the service delivery things. I want to just pause and look at the financial outcomes of the grant. As you can see there, as I said, the grant spent, vacant to last column at the bottom, 90.6% of the allocation that was given. You can see that there are several provinces that spent 100%, reflecting some improvement. Eastern Cape, for instance, for this past financial year, reflected much better spending than what we have seen in the past. KZN continues to spend very well. Provinces such as Mpumalanga and Gauteng also have, in addition to those funds, they also have money that they've been given for coal haulage. In other words, the big coal haulage trucks that haul coal from the mine and run on the roads that do a lot more damage on those roads than would otherwise be the case. It's quite a bit of money that we've added, for those provinces to be able to address the damage in respect of those particular things there. And that was in the grant framework, and then of course can read for themselves the details there. The two areas of big concern, as you can see from the graph of the slide there, is Limpopo as well as the Northwest Province. Limpopo has a bit of quite a unique situation in that this is the Limpopo Department of Roads and Transport, was one of the departments that was under administration. And one of the issues there was the fact that Limpopo is the only province that has a roads agency, an actual entity, some outside of the department to which the work is given to do the work. Now, part of the concern there is that a lot of money was simply being transferred to this entity out of the government, the department's account, to say that the entity must go and deliver. And of course, one of the reasons why Cabinet took the decision in December 2000. something percent of its budget, but achieves 78% of its target or something else, then you know, explain the variance. It's something that one would have liked to see in the report. Unfortunately, that wasn't there. The maintenance of the core haulage network also was quite concerning. The two provinces that I mentioned earlier that received money for this particular work, both of them reflected very poor performance against target. I take only 35% of target in Mpumalanga, even worse, only 6% of the target was actually reached. So that was also a concern that was reflected there. Again, the information is there, and it's useful to see that it's there, and one can interrogate it further, but we have highlighted the fact that we'd like to see a narrative actually explaining why that was the case. And then the second set of compliance observations are there, data analysis of certain items and permits, transported on, for instance, pavement and bridge condition data, and the traffic data, as I pointed out in a previous slide, and I think it's the first slide, that one of the things that we wanted to see was the traffic volume on the actual roads. Some of the traffic data was missing in respect of there. And then secondly, rehabilitation, repair of roads and bridges damaged by flood. There was 488 million rand allocated for this purpose in this past financial year, and there was quite a bit of data missing in respect of what the actual outputs were. Again, this is just information that is required in terms of the plan and the framework, but we didn't see it in the evaluation report. Issues raised by provinces did not reflect what challenges the department had in terms of implementing the program. In other words, there were issues raised, but it wasn't about whether or not what are the things that are actually causing some of the difficulties. We ourselves have noted a couple of things, not just in the evaluation, but through our own analysis. For instance, unit costs for roads in provinces are considerably higher than they are in national. In other words, what provinces are paying per kilometre of road. Now, we haven't presented this information here because it's part of our rough analysis at the decision level. We still need to get the data to go deeper before we make it a public thing. So we're not putting it up here, but one of the issues is, why is it that there are these variances in unit cost in terms of the cost per kilometre? It's something that we also like to see. Recommendations in the report are feeling that there are too broad, for example, 10 million rand for skilled capacity in the procurement process is made available through the conditional grant to each of the provincial departments. But the specifics about it, what happens or what happened to it, are not clear enough. And then finally, the recommendations are noted, but the details in terms of the challenges and specific interventions also are missing. So I guess what we're saying here is that in terms of the actual evaluation, there are certain things that I think, I suppose one could say it's early days, the first couple of years of the grant, but we still need to drill down more to get more details as to what's actually happening at a sector level that these provinces are doing with the money. Never mind that they have it, or what the fact that they're spending it, but what's actually coming out of the sector in respect of looking after the paved road network that belongs to the provincial sphere. Just some of the issues from our side that we've noted. This is not in the evaluation report or issues related to the evaluation, but this is information that we had previously sent to the committee that's just for our noting. That are affecting expenditure, at least in some of the remedial actions that we are looking at and considering. The poor technical capacity of departments and provinces, the provincial departments, for planning and project management has been something that's been noted, as well as leadership and stability, as I've spoken, across those provinces that I've listed there. As I said, Eastern Cape has now, for the first time, started funding up its expenditure. But we're still concerned that in the Eastern Cape, there are still issues of poor construction supervision. We visited a project, the R72 road between Port Alfred and just before you get to PE, and there were issues there around the quality of the road. It was a new road, but there were cracks appearing after just a few months, etc. So, the question we were asked capacity of the actual department, some of the people there, we need to get better skills in terms of the people that we have there, and finally Northwest, of course. We've seen issues famously of poor contract management, supply chain management in the precinct, the famous 23 roads, problems there, as well as in Mpumalanga, where we still try to figure out why the performance numbers for the core haulage have been so poor. To address these challenges, we're obviously looking at various ways through the IDES process of implementing some of the principles in the road sector. As members will be aware of the infrastructure delivery management system that has been approved by all the nine EXCOs in the province, in the provinces, with respect to health and education, and we're looking at ways of how to expand that to the road sector, or how to adapt that for the road sector if what we currently have won't work, if that is the case, which could very well be. And of course, we made the funds available last year for capacity requirements for provincial roads departments up to a maximum of 10 million rand each, which continues in the current period. There's also been an issue, of course, which is sort of beyond the control of departments and the national department that Sunlog has highlighted to be the major problem. But we have had a shortage of bitumen, which has been a serious issue that has constrained our ability to actually deliver on the roads for the vehicles. Just to end then, with some conclusions and recommendations, since the 2013-14 budget, the allegations are based on actual data submitted by the provinces under the guidance of the National Department of Transport. An allocation model has now been developed and has been implemented into the grant to take into account the most critical elements that determine the maintenance requirements. In other words, the things that actually, you know, push and pull, if you like, on the level of damage, if you like, to the road. The first one is the visual conditioning, which is what I reflected in my earlier slide there with the poor, very poor, etc., etc. Second one is the traffic volume. The heavier the traffic volumes, of course, the more damage can be done to the roads, and therefore more routine maintenance is required, and finally the climatic conditions, more rain and other things can cause the roads to become more damaged, and therefore more needs to be done there. So that's gone into the formula that the National Department has been working very hard over the last couple of years to develop since the Samasoke strategy was announced in 2010, and now that's been implemented. Given the fact that that is the case, much improvement is needed in the quality of the non-financial reporting. In your data for 2012-13 for sub-national road sector is still unreliable. As I said, we're still seeing some difficult variances that we need to fix in the data. Our objective is to have reliable data that can be published for public scrutiny for each province. Honourable members will be aware that we are currently publishing service delivery data for the health sector, the agriculture sector, and the social development sector currently. We want to expand that approach to other sectors in government so that service delivery information can be published for the public to see what's actually being delivered with the money that's being allocated. Currently, on the roadside, the data is still unavailable, so we're working with the department to try and improve that quality so that we can get to the point where we can actually do that to the best level possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Tsin. Our members from the Ministry of Information and Pleasure in the presence of us.
It's raised a few times regarding the reporting by provinces. It was issued in the message to the provinces, nobody won.
for upgrading as well as maintenance. I'll give you, for instance, the Sunny Pass Road in my province. Would that money, could that money have come out of this grant? It was previously what we call a dirt road. It's now been made into what we call a tarred road. And would that fall into the grant? Or not, because I think we're spending about $1 billion on that road. The question of the coal haulage network. Can you explain to me that the table shows that Mpumalanga spent 100% of the funds, but then you make a comment that they only spent 6% of the target on coal haulage. So is it a separate figure somewhere? Just a little explanation there. The question of the shortage of bitumen, there's not an international shortage of bitumen, there's a local shortage of bitumen. And this issue was raised, I think, 4 years ago when I was in the economic committee. And it should have been addressed. And I know it held up the road outside my front door before. I mean, the road took 4 years to build, but it should have been built in 6 months. It's just as you see, being opened about a
expansion of heater on the roads, whilst the more money will go into the rail. I think that could be a long-term solution. I think we need to talk about that as well.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I'm sure you'll appreciate that most of some questions will be responded to by the department, and it will allow the presentation by the department to clarify as we move on those, or allow the institutions to answer those that we can answer, and then those not answered, surely they will find expression in the presentation by the department. And if we're still not satisfied, we will come back and follow up after the department. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, yes, some of the questions certainly, Mr. Nerji, I'm sure, constituents are not better than I. With respect to the first question, I'm just going through them. I'm not clear on the problems to know what they might be, just forward, simply asking, yes, is the issue and the point that I was trying to get across in the presentation was not that the elements of reporting are not known. The issue I was trying to get across is the fact that the quality of the data, irrespective of the elements, is much known. So, for instance, the one that, to some extent, whether or not we are saying clearly the data is reliable or not reliable, the point is that in respect of those specific reporting items, what we find is that in a number of provincial departments, there is a compliance mentality where people are not paying attention to the specific quality of the information, but more just making sure that the reports are fit. There's sort of a struggle that the national department grapples with significantly on their side. I quite a sympathy for them in the sense that often these things are agreed. You assume when you agree with people that you wait for the thing that you agreed to come, and then when it comes, you're quite disappointed that it's not that way. So the census are there, no question about that, and the key performance indicators, the KPIs, indicators are there, and they're also defined. So what we do is we have an indicator, and then per indicator we have a definition of it. So it's the quality of what people are writing in respect of that sentence that we are concerned. Get people beyond compliance to quality is an issue that we're fighting, no question about it. I think that the department is better placed to talk about the specific road you mentioned in the Northern Cape and the economic value of tarring. With respect to the allocation, you made a point about the reduction allocation. Remember that there have been changes to the allocation in terms of the baseline compared to the previous budget cycle, specifically because of the implementation of the formula. The formula that we said we were going to implement together with the National Department when this grant was established. So what we said is, if you honourable members will recall, in 2011 when we came with the DORA bill, in that particular framework here, we said that going forward, for the purposes of the coming, which is now 2013-14, the data in respect of those elements, visual conditioning, traffic volume, traffic chairs and start getting this thing right, the incentive must be real. And that incentive was very clearly communicated 2 years ago, and it was put in the framework, legally gazetted, legally accepted by Parliament, and legally accepted by the Minister in the Gazette. So that is our expectation. People will get that data right in respect of that. There are several questions from Honourable Mashila. One of them is the issue of the unit cost. I think I know to take your point about the reasons why the differences would be there in respect of the national and the provincial as well as among the provinces themselves. Part of the problem that we run into, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to get people to answer the question why. So we see the variances, and also not just the variances between spheres, but we see variances across the provinces. I wish that this process of getting between ourselves and the sector to start working out the unit cost more firmly would obviously move faster so that I could talk about the unit cost. I can't now because it's still very much a rough calculation that we're still debating amongst ourselves. But the bottom line is that the differences have to be explained. That is the point that we're trying to make. The differences are there, but please tell us exactly what they are and delineate specifically where are the areas where the differences appear in the way in which the whole system works. So we're just asking for a simple answer and that's still being worked on to provide that. For instance, I was in the Eastern Cape in May. I met with the roads department there and that was the thing. Give us an outline and they said, okay, they'll work on it. They didn't have it for us at the time. They will have to go back and work on it. So these are the kinds of difficulties that one has to, that one encounters in respect of these things. Going on to the issue of the way I've outlined the reasons and the concerns in the second to last slide, amongst the different provinces, part of it is that from our side, we obviously are trying to diagnose where the problems are as best as we can. If I take a look at the Eastern Cape, I mean, the people that I have at least interacted with in the Eastern Cape are very qualified people. They all, I mean, in the meeting that I had in May, you know, we had five very senior engineers in the group. So very qualified people that had all the degrees, etc. But the problem was that when you go and look at the roads, you say, well, why does this road look like this? Hence the reason why. And this reason that I've listed here was the reason that I had put to them before I came here to say, we've looked at the roads, and despite you guys sitting here being so very qualified, as far as you can tell, in the engineering environment, the road doesn't seem to live up to the standard that it should be. So were you watching the contract? We took one of the issues to get something better than what we got but in other departments, when you go there, you can very clearly see that you don't see people who, or you've got a very small number of people who are maybe qualified as senior engineers, and so we put that an issue we had to capacity. So we put the reasons as we see them, and as we have put it to provinces to say, this is what we see. We're telling you that this is what we see, and we're telling you that this is the reason that we're going to put it to provinces. So that's that. On the issue of streamlining the project planning and implementation, very good question, and the answer is that is exactly what the IDA process is about. And that's what the Minister was announcing in February. To say that the new way that we're going to manage infrastructure going forward is that we're going to have this process, which is outlined in the Division of Revenue and Extra W1, in the Division of Revenue Bill, that we briefly touched on in the hearing before the House. In March to say that part of the principles of the IDA program, Infrastructure Delivery Improvement Program, IDA, is what we call the IDMS, the Infrastructure Delivery Management System, which has in it process, there's a planning process. So we said, you can't say, I want to build a road, and then get all the money for building that road in this year. It can't be. And you can't ask for all of the money this year, or even in the next year, actually. You must spend quite a bit of that first year. And if the project is big enough, some of the mega projects might even be longer. Planning. So that is exactly what that process is designed to do, to say that that's our point one. So the point I was trying to make is that currently that process has received endorsements by all of the 9 provincial exco's in respect of the health and education sector. How are we going to build schools and how are we going to build hospitals? We're trying to find a way of getting or adapting it for the road as far as best we can, because our preliminary observations have been that the road sector is quite different from health and education, particularly in respect of things like user asset management. Think very quickly in your mind about a school. A school is a very defined asset in a very defined space, endpoint, etc., etc. A road business can be something quite different, spanning over a period of time. And how do you measure the asset value of what you put into that road, etc.? We've had preliminary discussion about it. There's nothing formalized, but what we're saying is the same principles. We need to find a way of getting those principles to be implemented as best as we can, given the fact that the sector is different. I think on the issue of the model and how it takes into account the design life of the road, I think the National Department can speak to that as well in respect of how that works. The question on Limpopo and the Roads Agency of Limpopo. The Roads Agency of Limpopo was established in terms of an act that was promulgated by the province and signed into law by the president of the province. So, from the perspective of its establishment, there was nothing legal. It was actually done in terms of the constitutional prerogative of a province to establish an entity. It was only after the fact that we started talking about what actually is happening here. What is the governance? Are things being done in terms of the law? Is the money being used properly? So it was after the fact that these questions started coming there. And as I said, there is currently sort of a study or a process or an inquiry into the feasibility of the model. In fact, yesterday I was in a formal meeting with the new premier and we were discussing that particular study. So that thing is something that's going to happen, and from there we're going to get the answers in terms of how that's supposed to go forward on that one. On the questions, on the lease, first of all, where did the historical data come from? I chose deliberately, on the lease, to use just the historical data as the target which we established the grant, because the National Department is in a better position to talk about how we've progressed since that time. I don't want to pretend that I know more than them, I don't, in respect of how we've moved. But the data itself that's there, we got from SANRA. SANRA also looked at the data of how the whole road network looks, even though, of course, they're not directly responsible for building individual roads, unless they are requested to do so with the permission of the political leadership. The money, whether it is for upgrading and maintenance, to some extent, I mean, this question sometimes gets asked, and it can be a bit of a difficult question, because at what point do you start saying that a road has gotten to the point What was the reason given for hard paying 35%? Again, we didn't get the fight that we are fighting and the frustration with the problem that we're trying to get to that place. I mean, to some extent, we didn't anticipate that the report would be perfect. Because first, this is a new thing. So, I mean, at the back of our mind, we knew that we were going to have problems, to be honest with you. Because this thing is new and so on and so forth, and it has been obvious for a while that some problems are still going on and things like that. So, some things I'm disappointed in, but some things, while being disappointed, I'm not entirely surprised at. But in terms of that, that is part of our question as well. What is the reason for the variance? Obviously, you must remember that what we are talking about when we talk about the road and the condition and the length, etc., against which the percentages are measured, it's just simply an issue of the fact that here is a particular piece of road, what percentage of it is in this condition and that condition, etc. So the fact that three states in Limpopo are more rural than Gauteng doesn't really come into it. It's just, it's just a simple issue of arithmetic. This is the road network, this is what it is, and then the percentage of it. And remember, the road network we're talking about here is a provincial road network. You're driving from the airport, from Mo'atambo Airport to Pretoria or to Johannesburg, those are national roads. They look very nice. You would think by looking at them that not mean that all the roads in Gauteng are like that. That's not the case. So that's part of that must be looked at. The question by Honorable Joseph already. Deep policy questions about the issues of rail and
Moreover, we seek to use the creation of this infrastructure grant to contribute to one of the key and important priorities of government, being rural development. At the same time, our central focus is also on the ongoing task of maintaining our vast road network. Honourable members should be aware and know that the Chief Director from Treasury is giving an indication that South Africa has the 10th largest road network in the world. So our efforts are actually geared at maintaining this world-class network of roads. We also have a cumulative road backlog of about 149 million. And honourable members, please note that this does not include the work that needs to be undertaken on the more than 140,000 kilometers of road in this country. This is part of the context in which the PRMG is being implemented. The DDG for roads, first time, will get into detail of the presentation to the committee, but also allow me to highlight some of the areas. Some of the implementation of the program, or since the implementation of the program started, we have seen some successes and these include, especially with regard to job creation, the full-time equivalent job creation target has reached a high of 95%, resulting in 114,065 FTE or FTE jobs, promoting efforts towards uniform planning and implementation approach across the country to make sure that what is happening in the Northwest can also be happening in the Northern Cape, but also in other parts of the country, but also that we need to acknowledge and understand that roads and housing, KZN, as well as in the Western Cape, are equally important for the other provinces, in particular the rural provinces. Implementing and expanding the road asset management systems or RAMs across the provinces so as to make sure that you know the asset base with regards to your roads. The PRMG allocation has a specific bias towards maintenance work. And we have seen advances in this regard, but some challenges do remain. These are receiving attention from the Department of Transport. And these challenges, ladies and gentlemen, all of the members, vary from the levels of implementation across provinces. And I'm sure that the implementation of Treasury, if it had been taken together with the presentation of the department, we have seen the synergy of the commonality of the challenges that we face. The challenges of coordination and integration across the three spheres of government is also one of the key challenges that we are facing. But also in particular, and I'm happy that Chairman has raised it, the minimal capacity for ongoing monitoring and evaluation and the implementation of mitigating or corrective strategies where challenges are identified. We have also identified in the department challenges with regard to having one major system or company that monitors the work of 9 provinces. And that is why we're starting to talk about the need for us to develop a system of clustering the provinces into 4 blocks, but also developing a measuring and verification instrument so as to make sure that it is not just figures that we receive, but that those figures can be really verified if we go down the road. The Chief Director of Treasury has also given an indication that you could be having the skills, but when you go down to the road itself, you find that the quality of the road doesn't measure the skills that you have. So it means there is something that is a very big challenge that we need to actually address as a collective. But in particular, because one of the key areas was related to meeting the job creation target, we also want to make sure that we look at whether this objective has been realized. Because we find that this maintenance program, because of the fact that it's labor intensive, the aspect of job creation was paramount, and we need to be able to address that. As indicated, the presentation of this department will shed some more light and will go into detail into some of these areas. As a department, we have been engaged in a process that seeks to learn from the lessons of the implementation of the program over the recent period. And together with provinces, we'll be employing some of the particular, if you talk about financial checking and the management of people, we are conscious of the fact that there are times when roads will be built and come the first rain, strong rain, and the whole road surface is gone. So it means already there's a challenge for with regard to the quality and whether we have been able to get value for money from the contractors that have been engaged to do the work. Also, honorable members, I think it is important that we really engage more with regard to the issue that has been
So that we don't plan then all of a sudden we Okay.
in particular, we would want to make sure that the money is actually spent to improve the life of our people. As we speak, some of us who were part of the delegations of the president and the deputy president on Luzon and the work on poverty, which know that in KZN, in Singa in particular, there was a time when we had to leave the bus and walk. And when we got to the community after an hour, they were saying we are happy that we could experience wealth for that which is our daily life. And these are some of the reminders that says to us, we haven't done enough. Even if we can say we have a 10th in the world in terms of the road network, but there are communities that doesn't even have a road to get to school, to get to a clinic, or to go to church. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Thank you very much. Questions for transgender machine.
Chairperson, the unfortunate thing is that
almost a complete absence of any report on how the money was spent in terms of the primary objective of maintenance of road. How many kilometers of the road were repaired? Where were they repaired? What kind of repairs were done? We talk ad nauseum in great detail about jobs and FTEs and WOs, which is a side product of your department. Your primary objective, particularly in terms of this grant, is to maintain the road. And yet you're not telling us about it. What have you done with the money? I'm astounded, to be quite honest. Mr. Chairman, we see a whole lot of pretty pictures at the end, and this brings me back to my question that I fairly put to Mr. Fishy about upgrade versus maintenance. But here the pretty pictures are telling us about new projects. I hope you're not saying to us that you're using this money for new projects, for new roads and new bridges. Please confirm whether or not that is the case. And then also explain to us how you differentiate between upgrades and maintenance. So DDG, you can't simply brush aside the coal hoarded roads and say that that Mr. Fishy has dealt with, that he has not dealt with. Why was the performance so bad? Please tell us. Please explain to us, slide 22, that in the first quarter, I don't really understand your slide, the headings are poor, but if I read it, in the first quarter, the spending is minuscule. Is that the way we're going to go through the current year? You also kind of generalize about the unit costs of roads. Didn't you tell us about cuttings and mountains? I mean, all that stuff. I mean, we're actually not school children. We understand all that. We want the detail. Surely you've done this work. You've started this work. And you can report what the actual differences and what is causing them in the projects that have been financed. So in my province, where you will need many more bridges to cross the many rivers, on this project, the costs are higher because we have to spend $100 million on this bridge and so on. But you come here and generalize. We know that. We know the topography is different. We know in the Northern Cape, you'll make a lot more roads than you will in KZN. But we need the figures and the detail. Mr. Chairman, the question of that was asked by Honourable Joseph earlier, I think in particular with regard to our own province, and here it is about maintenance. The N3 is being hammered by the trucks. And so I don't know whether any of this grant goes into Sandrail to be able to support that, but if I look at slide 22 on the coal haulage, I see Sandrail coming out. So it seems to me that some money might be going to Sandrail. And here it becomes even more critical about getting those trucks off the road. What is the Transport Department's work? What efforts is the Transport Department making to get the trucks off the entry and get the freight onto rail? And secondly, what is the Transport Department's views on the carriage of haulage of freight from the proposed new harbour in Durban? We know that the infrastructure is already overloaded. The railway structure is overloaded, the road infrastructure is overloaded, and yet we are now planning to build a huge new port. How is that going to, is that going to hammer our roads even more? Is this grant going to be sufficient? And why are we not developing a new corridor to reach, say, a harbour which is horribly underutilized and sort of wasting money on a dugout harbour in Durban? Mr. Chairman, a final question, which has been concerning me for some time, and I hope the Minister will be prepared to answer. On a number of occasions, I have submitted written questions to the Minister regarding provincial roads, and the Minister has declined to answer those questions. The convention in the NCRP is that we
moved away from their indigenous area into very remote places. I was the politician saying that. The narrows, they are very big streams, which is the Hamari city. Attending school on my meeting. It's West Bend and Spina. It's really wonderful. So that's something, just try and look at what might be done in some of the, it's not the only area, but that area for Kitchen Bay is the West Bend. I'm from Kitchen Bay. For what I live in the area there. So if you're struggling, they actually stretch around from starting left over some button and start down.
Changes that was supposed to be both at various stations for the taxi industry. All the projects.
50%, you also go to full-time equivalent, the target was 12, and then the actual so far is 5, 3, 11, which is likely to be on target if we are to factor in the remaining 50%. But let's go on with things like, let's take housing for example. Your full-time equivalent target is 8,000. So far it's only one they have realized. And of that, it's over 80% of projects are on completion. And we are doing, this is the first quarter, so almost the projects are on completion on the first quarter. But when you check the figures in terms of the target, they say something that is quite strange. So they are not realistic, and reading that slide again in relation to slide number 20, because the slide number 20, most of those figures are sourced from their own plans. But what they report subsequently is something far exceeding what is in their plans, or even far less. I can't make sense of these two slides. If you could explain how does these figures relate to each other, and how does, so that it makes sense of some of this. Then let's go to the slide number 22. I also have a difficulty that one of these, particularly in relation to the 2012 state performance of both Gauteng and Mpumalanga. Gauteng, the first quarter, despite the fact that the previous year, they only achieved 35% of their target. Already now, the first quarter, nothing has been done. They have spent zero. Right? And we are hoping that, and I don't know how that this figure compares with the previous financial year, because we don't have those figures here. But already, you can see that if nothing happens, the performance will still be poor. Same is in Mpumalanga as well. And these are the provinces, particularly in Mpumalanga, who, when they are here, they will complain. I wish they were here, because the minister is here. Most of the time when they come, the ministers don't come. When you don't call them, the ministers come. But you hear them lamenting about this coal haulage and how it damages their roads, as if they don't get. They never even mention that someone give them money. Oftentimes they appear here. We would assume that they are expected to use the same conditional grants of maintenance to do that. But now, at least today, we know that there is this fund that comes specifically from someone targeting the two provinces, and Mpumalanga and Gauteng. But Gauteng is not spending that. I would love to know what are the reasons for Gauteng. Is it because now these tracks are using mostly these national roads that are maintained by Sanlam, and if that is the case, why do they then have to get this allocation? Or what are the reasons? Surely they should have brought such reasons. And why is
We have finalizing the rail policy, and we would at an appropriate stage also come and engage with members about the rail policy. So as we make it possible, then we address the price and passenger rates of this country, and as well as be able to say what would be the requisite type of a standard of a or norm or services that we would want to have. And if you talk about the situation of the trust, that is the trust of the road, I'm from a province, the Northern Cape, which is the, now the fastest growing in terms of iron ore and manganese. And because of the challenge of the road, the rail system, the roads are now starting to bear the price. So the situation of coal haulage in Mpumalanga is now emerging with the iron and manganese ore haulage in the Northern Cape. So where the roads of the Northern Cape are actually, they might not have the necessary traffic volume, but the volumes of trucks that are now moving on those roads and the impact of the trucks on the road is having even a devastating effect. So it means wherever there is mineral development, we need as a department of transport to make sure that the commensurate infrastructure to cover the mining development is to be in place. And is it road or rail or what? And the rail policy is actually even addressing the type of rail track and tonnage and the type of tank tonnage that needs to be in place. There was also the issue, and I was informed that the Honorable Deputy Chairperson of the NDP has responded to that, the new Durban port. And I think we should avoid a situation where we would want to say, as opposed to addressing the holistic intermodal type of infrastructure system that we need to face in the country, to say this needs to go in favor of this one. And be able to realize the volumes and impacts that each mode has. And at a later stage, again, we will come with the maritime mode or transport challenges that we have. So as to be able to literally have members, even of this committee and the appropriations committee, have an appreciation and the understanding of how we would want to make sure that one mode actually offsets the challenges that the other one have. So the government, the legal cost, is an essential ingredient for the economic trajectory that South Africa is developing. If you remember what the NDP said, if you remember what the new growth pact said, you would actually realize that this development is not a development in isolation to the other development. So I really would want you to be considerate to what we are doing as a country to make it possible that we are kind of address the challenges of the different developments that we're having. I'm trying to look at the questions to answer so that the DTG can play the most important one.
Okay.
No, but I think honourable members, the issues raised by also honourable member Bloom with regards to the quality and capacity of the contractor, the challenges with regards to the length of time it takes to complete a road vis-à-vis what it was supposed to. I think that's why I said some of these point up to the correct areas that we need to also go and look into. But it would also help us if honourable members could, like other members that have also done, give us the necessary information. We know of roads where we, in terms of the records of the department, in terms of the records of provinces, the contractor is on site. But the community has said the contractor has long left. And these are the things that stand for us that we need really to even empower our communities to be the guardians of the resources and the programs
lines from Sandra in terms of the answers for the tax news about. But on the other question of raising before, I get a picture of how, but maybe at some point we'll have to engage further on this thing of bedrocks, because I have not so far understood anybody explaining this bedrock to me, because it includes even newly planned routes. And from where I'm seated, a newly planned route or a route that has been constructed, whether it's gravel or whatever, yesterday, it cannot be referred to as a bedrock. Then otherwise, the way we define this bedrock will never finish the bedrock. Even after 30 years of this new democracy, we still continue to say we still have this bedrock. My simple definition of bedrock would have been the number that we got when we took over in 1994, and what work has been done until now in terms of insofar as that is concerned. And then when we talk of anything new from 1994 to now, to say these are the new figures and this is what we have done, because some of these things as we put plans, we put plans and put budgets for those and put surface on the road. It minimizes what could be a bedrock in terms of the new work. But bedrock in the narrow definition that I'm giving of what we took over as a bedrock is something else. But it's not for this meeting anyway. I just wanted to understand that I would want to teach it to the slides now. The three slides I referred to. The ones representing the plans and what we tell us to have achieved. You see, because they do not make any sense to me. That's why now one would also be tempted to correct me, say, which is information that you can't give now. Or which rules have been maintained and given, so that we can hear testimony and play a proper oversight of it. This one, yes, we pass on that one.
Actually, it was the main reason why I detected
the work opportunity as well as the full-time equivalent and the one with regards to the core knowledge. That could be one of the, three of the areas that you could submit in writing. And then the other letter would be what Honorable Nashir has indicated, that after 3 months or so, we could then come back with a better report. But that would be probably not necessarily a better report, but a two-quarter report, because this is the first quarter report, so that we can then start working on the volumes of work that the CPG indicated that they still have to wade through and go through. But also remember that on the week when we present to MIDMET, we will be presenting a proposal that we would expect the intergovernmental forum to support so that we'll be able to unblock the new method of working with the PALMG, and that would be also part of the future work. But with regards to this year, I would let your indulgence to allow to submit in writing and more narrative the statements related to this particular the slide and the information on the slide, but also the kilometers for the project in the 906 that the province is due, and then come later when it's important.
Thank you very much. I think that the road has been said from our members. May I request that first there is the section 7 minutes to teach me, I think, a better time. Thank you very much. Our members, then that concludes our discussion on the presentation by both the National Treasury and the Department of Transport. And thank you very much, Prime Minister, for attending.
Yeah.
And, we hope that Honorable Lizzy will get to us waiting for you out of this meeting in the house. Thank you, Honorable Minister, for disposing to this call. Honorable members, the last item, I think, is just a set of news on the policy of focus. It's just the mutual adults before I disclose. The minutes are